Okay, today's daf we're going to learn is Chaf Daled, and we begin from Halacha Bet. Hakadar, which is a potter, shehichnis kderotav lechatzer balabait. He simply puts his wares in somebody else's property, shelo b'rishut, without permission. Ushavatam b'moshe balabait patur. And the balabait's animal walks around, sees this foreign thing in its property, and instead of kicks it over or breaks it or whatever it is patur completely. The balabait's exempt. But you didn't put anything in my property. Should be straightforward. Vimhuzgubehem. If however the balabait's animals get damaged by this clear that's been placed in his property without his knowledge. When the balak there, it's chayiv. You put the hazard in my property, you're chayiv. Then nichsam b'rashut. However, if he asked permission from the balabayit, then the balachatzer is chayiv if they get damaged, the kelim. Okay, that should be pretty straightforward. We'll see later why that's not actually the case. Hakadash yichnis kederotav. Back to the Gemara. Yichnis kederotav, meaning lechatzer balabayit shelo b'rashut. So this is what happens. He places he puts his kederot in the rishut of the balabait without permission. Or bar shomim akom acher, and another ox enters the property. So there's a third party now. Vishavran and breaks him. It's patur. Okay, he's also patur. So I have to understand this. Huzak behen. If, however, it was damaged by them, then it's also patur. Okay. So what's the ox doing in there? What are the kalim doing in there? Fantastic. Everyone's patur. So Gemara says hada amra. Hakeren, it says Keren here, Ptura bechatzer she'enu shneihem. So we're trying to understand here why the foreign ox that came in is patur. So it must be that the now it's interesting here because we've got the Lashon Keren. The Shinui Nuschar on the side has actually regel, which might make it a lot easier to digest. Chasid David on the Tosefta says it's regel, and a few, I think other Mefarshim on the Tosefta say it's regel as well. Because we're talking about regel, we're talking about a foreign ox coming and trampling on these things. So that's why we're just trying to say, oh, regel isn't chayiv and rishus harabim, and it's also not chayiv and rishus shneihem. That's what we just learned from this, because neither had permission to be there. That's why it's pator. However, if you do want to keep it like we have it in front of us, which is the way the mefarshim have it, I'll just show you here the marafulda has it. It's the second one on the daf. Seven marafulda on the stuff. It says hada amra zot omeret midapater shor abam yom kamer shmamna kerem ptura bechatzet shel shneihem. Vechem b'sefer as well b'shen umayri. So in order to make it sound like Ken, what are we talking about? Sheshavran bebeita, where this foreign ox came and started kicking it like a football. Wasn't just trample on it. Now that comes, that's strange. So therefore, that's told of the Karen. That's why it becomes a strange. That's why it's Karen. So that's why you're talking about. That's how we're sort of making it work with the fact that it's Karen. Okay. Similarly, if you look at the Pnei Moshe, he also keeps the Girus Adam of a Karen Ptura. So the Sfer Leilaitana Dichi over the Karen Pshtarabim Shleshneim Yesh Rishut. When is Karen Chayiv? That's when they both got Rishut to be there. Umikol Sheken B'Chatzin Chavachomer. If he goes to somebody else's property, Aval B'Chatzin She'en Shneim Min Natan Lo Rishut Lekanes Gelav Lasham. Who gave you permission to put your keli in there? Who gave you permission to come in? So therefore, that's why he's Patur. Okay. Interesting that it's that, again, they're both honing on Karen. Less than the next mission, which is like a parallel, but really that's the case of Shen. Let's say someone put their produce or their fruit or literally produce in the house of a balabite without shlobrishut. And the owners of that property's animal comes along and says, hey, free lunch, and eats it. Well, the balabite's pater. He never gave permission to put it in there. If the animal's got or there was some sort of injury caused by a hazard, then the bala peret is chayiv. He never got permission to put it there. If, however, he would got permission to do so, then the bala chatzer takes responsibility for damage that is caused to this pile of produce. Now the Gemara says, chatzer. Once again, chatzer, one person A puts it in. Like, so Reuven puts his peret in the field of Shimon. Then the ox of Ba'al Shor Shel Acher, the ox of Levi, comes from Makom Acher and eats it. Once again, it's patur. Or and if it's huzak, if it gets injured by it, then it's also patur. Hada Amri, you see quite clearly then. Shahashen Petura bechatzar shen shnehem. This is another case of a chatzar shen shnehem because neither have permission to be there. And well, just as we said it before, if by regel or by keren, depending on the girsa, it's patur bechatzar shel shnehem. So too, we find the case of shen as well. Yafeh. Now the Gemara says this is not sorry. Next mission is halacha dalet. So once again, someone's ox goes into another person's property without permission, or he puts it in there without permission. And the ox goes in and gores an ox of the house owner. Or sorry, And the ox of the Balabait, sorry, gores this foreign ox came to the property, or the dog owned by the Balabait comes into Shachor Kalboshalabait of the Balabait, then we say it's Patur. In other words, what's your ox doing in my field? I have no responsibility for it. Therefore, if I've got a dog or an animal that injures you, well, what are we doing in my property? Nagahu if the ox, the foreign ox, comes in and causes damage and injures the ox of the homeowner, then we say he'd be chayiv. Quite clear. Because it's a shor amazik b'shotaneza. Now, nafal le bor, what happens if this ox falls in? Falls into a bor. And as a result of falling into the bor, hevish me mav ends up sullying the water there. Then, well, it's the owner of the bor is not chayiv for the damage by the shor, but the shor, when it is property, ended up sullying the water, he's chayiv to pay. Okay? Haya aviv or beno l'tocho meshalem yatok ofer. What happens if the homeowner's, say, father or son was in that prop in the bor at the time, and well, I don't know, doing repairs or something, and this foreign ox comes in, falls in, and kills the individual inside it, then he has to pay kofar. Now, I have to be careful about paying kofar here because there's a lot of parameters that we're dealing with. We're not talking about a shor, we're talking about a tam. And it sounds like you have to pay full kofar. So that's why the Marful explains this situation is where the Bavli talks about the Gemara, the Amai, HaTamu. He quotes the Gemara Bavli that says, why should he pay kofar? It's tam. Umashni ula, it must be that we're talking about Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, he da amar tam mishalem chatzi kofar. First, it has to be, according to Shira Rabbi Yossi, that a tam would pay chatzi kofar. This is a debate we just saw previously. The Svirle also, like Rabbi Tarfon, the Keren Berachat Zeranizak pays Nezek Shalem. That's why I pay. In other words, you have to combine two Tanaim positions together that a Tam has to pay Kofar, and if it's a Chutan Nezek, you have to pay Nezek Shalem. That's why we're talking about it. That's why the owner of this foreign ox that came into the person's property, ended up killing individual by, falling into this bor and then killing the individual inside, has to pay full Kofar. Okay, you're fair. However, if he was he asked permission to bring the ox in, then the Balachatzer has to take responsibility. Now, Rabbi Omer, Bekulam, in all these cases, Ad Shikbala Balabait Lishmor. Simply saying, oh, feel free, you can bring it inside, doesn't mean that the Balabait takes full responsibility. It's only if he says, yes, and I will look after it. So, in other words, even if he says, you have permission to be in here, well, and something happens to it, the balabai is not chayev, unless he says, I'm going to look after it. That's what Rabbi Yehuda's cholek. That's what, sorry, Rebbe's cholek. Now the Gemara says, once again, the case is, foreign ox comes into the chatzer of balabai without permission. Uba shor, now shor comes in with mokom acher, comes from another location, nagach, the nagaf, nashach, rabat, ba'at, and it causes damage in the way of, if you like, a keren, so it's strange, kicks it, rams it, does all these things. Then he has to pay nezek shalem. Interestingly, that's to Rebbe Meir. Have the chachamirim al shen va'aregel chayev al angicha negifa neshicha varavitza all the other types of tam, so strange keren style nezek tam mishalem chatzin nezek mor mishalem nezek shalem in aliyah. Okay, now this needs a little bit of work. So let's go through the mouthful. That's a longer piece, but let's go through it. Because you have to understand is why is this saying Nezek Shalem contra Rebbe Meir? So Mufurash Bababli, again he quotes a Babli, Perkama, behind Breita, explains this Breita, is the Rebbe Shimon ben Lazar, Alibo der Chachamim. That is what, Bechatzah She'enu Shishneem Demayri, She'enu Shishneem Ela Dechad LePeirot. Which means, when this sounds like a Chatzah She'enu Shishneem, however, for one of them is allowed to use it for his payrod, for his produce. Aval shvarim to the two shores shel shnehem natan rishul likanes sham shoro, that they both had permission to put the, to let the shorim come inside. So one had permission for his produce and his shore, another had permission into his shore. Therefore, since they got permission, aval rishus rabim leinyan keren. That's why it's now a rishus rabim for keren. However, inyan shen v'regel. For shen rega havelei chatzer hanizak v'chayv nezek shalem. But when it comes to, if you like, the produce, if the person had in there, if he did, if it's shen v'regel type of damage, then it would be nezek shalem because it's considered chatzer hanizak because only the nizak had permission to put his produce there. Okay, so how does this fold into our case? Rabbi Meir de Mechayiv af bekeren nezek shalem. Why? Since the victim had reshut to bring his ox there, it's considered chatzar nezek. It's considered zak his. But not just that; it's also, for example, produce. Lefichach shor chayev habamekom acher nezek shalem ke Rebbe Tarfon. Again, you have to let Rebbe Tarfon because Rebbe Tarfon says if it's a tam, because if it wasn't tam, you don't be chatzar nezek. That's what's to be nezek shalem. The Chachamim Yisrael Adim shor habamekom acher achal peirot says careful. Chachamim say if the shor from another place came and ate the peirot balachatzer of the owner of the chatzer, have le shem reshut anezek nizak. Aval keren who il v'natan lezer reshut lach nisaro have le shor reshut zerabin since they both reshut to be in there, then it's like what we call shor if you like shor reshut zerabin. Chibah shor mimakom acher v'nagach dino it's like reshut zerabin. Behind nami myrikan that's what we're talking about here. That's what he's simply saying, that they're both going to be there. And that's what Shush Rabbi, that's just like, if you like a machloket, whether you have to pay Nezek Shalem or Chatzi Nezek. Yafer. Aval Bereisha, when talking about the Kadar and Halacha Bet, that's a different. That's when the She'ein Reshut Labala Kadar Lachnis Kederot. That was different. That's when Bakala had no right to bring his Kederot in there at all. Then Ein Balach, then Ein Balach Kederot Bechatzer, then it's not considered like Chatzar Nezek, and not like Rosh Hashanah Neficha Patu Lagami. Okay, Yafer. So in other words, this. The way the Bible explains this last case, or this bright, I should say, that we're learning now, is different. It's like they've already got permission to be in there for the both the Shvarim, but not for their one of them for the produce and the like. Okay, that's why, if you like, it's considered like Rosh Hashanah Rabbim for Keren, for both of them, both Chachamim and Rebbe Meir. And the reason why Rebbe Meir says it's Nezek Shalem, well, that is because he holds Rebbe Tarfon, then a Tam pays Nezek Shalem in the case in a Rosh Nizak, really. Sorry, just to make clear, correct that. Chachamim says like Rishut Rabim. Rabbi Meir says it's like Rishut Nizak, and that's why he holds like Rabbi Tarfon in this context that he pays Nezek Shalem. Because again, Rabbi Tarfon and Rishut Rabim says he pays Chatzin Nezek. Okay, just to make that clear. Now, the Gemara says. Svacharim was said, fine. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Shmuel says halachic Rabbi halachas like Rabbi. Now, who's Rabbi? Rabbi, if you remember, is the last shita we saw in the Mishnah that says simply saying, "Yeah, sure, I'll give you permission to put your ox that your ox can like raise around in my property," doesn't mean the balabai takes full responsibility. It's not saying I'm going to take responsibility for shmirah. And if anything happens to it, well, I'm sorry. It's only if he says yes and I will look after it. Does the balabai, would the balabai be obligated for any damage that happened to this guests, if you like? Sure. Now, Rabbi Zira says also halach Rebbe. I'm Rebbe Yehuda. Hakol modim. Everyone agrees. Bebayit shu omer hachnes, bani meshomro. In other words, everyone agrees. If you're not going to look at what it means when he says, "Oh, sure, you can bring it inside," whether the balabai taking responsibility. If he says you can bring it into my house, then everyone agrees. He says, "Look, I'm going to look up. The balabai's going to look after it." Hakol modim. If he says, "Look, you can leave it in the field," then means I'm not looking after it. You can just use that as a way station if you like, but you're fully responsible. I'm not taking responsibility. So what then is a machloket in the Mishnah? Ma pligim bechatzer in a chatzer. So the person's courtyard. Rebbe Omar chatzer is like a sade. He's not taking responsibility if anything happens. But chachamim so a chatzer is like a bait. If he says you can bring it to my chatzer, it's like in my house, he takes responsibility. Gemara then asks, one second, Taman Tani, we'll let the Mishnah, Hamnagdish Betoch Sadech Haver Shalom Bashur, if I put a stack, if you like, a stack of produce or wheat or something, in person's field without Rashut, then he would, what? Then Shalom Bashur, that would be a situation where, then it'd be Pater if anything happens, a Balabait. Importantly, Marfulda says, Vesem Besefa, Vimidish Bashur Balabait, if you got permission, Michayev. But we just said everyone agrees if you put it in, if he says you can put it in my sadeh, my field, then everyone agrees is not taking responsibility. Sadeh is then the safer. So Amar Yitzchak, kedishin besadeh kekelim b'balabait. He says, look, you have to appreciate what is being placed there. If it's a kli, then we said only if he says put it in my house, because that's a place where kelim are normally kept. That's when everyone agrees says I'm looking after it. If someone says this is a kli, if they say can I put my kli or my peirot in your field, well, that's not actually a place where they're usually stored. So clearly everyone agrees that the person's not taking any responsibility, the balabait, that is. However, if it's a gdish, which is usually a stack of wheat or something like that, a big stack, since that is a normal location where these things are stored, if the balabait says, shohachnes, it's equivalent to saying with a kli, sure, we can bring it in my house. Both situations accept responsibility according to everyone. Okay. So Amar Rav Yossi Barbon Tiftar says no. Tiftar Bahi de Itli Masker, meaning it could be simply differently. When he says the case of put into my Sadeh, that's when he's got like a gedder around it, like an enclosure, like a barn or something, and that would be like being in the house. Yeah, fair. Now, the next halacha, hey. Shor she'amit gaven l'chaveru v'ikat isha. If someone, if shor is trying to gore another ox and ends up injuring a woman, v'yatzah yeladea, and she miscarries as a result, he doesn't have to pay dmei v'ladot. And we discussed this in the past, a shiur or two ago. Now, Adam she'amit gaven l'chaveru, if two people are grappling, v'ikat, and in the fight, hikat isha, end up injuring a woman, v'yatzah yeladea, and she also miscarries, he has to pay dmei v'ladot. Now, ketz mesham tova, how do you compensate for this? So the first opinion is shamin et isha kechami yafta ad shelo yalda. Just like in an injury that happens to a human being, in any way you look at the difference in value on the slave market, that is, of what their value is to work out the reduction in so-called value. So too you do with isha bilada. You say, okay, what was she worth before she gave, when she was pregnant, what after, and you look at that difference. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says im kenet be isha. He says, what are you talking about? Once she gives birth, himishabachat means she's better. Why? Because a woman that's this woman is pregnant, it seems to be that the value would be less than if she wasn't because of the danger of the childbirth clearly at that time, that a percentage of mortality and things like that. So therefore, how can you say, look at her value after she's lost a baby too, because she's going to be increasing in value. So he says, Ela shamina kamin yafin. You look at the value of the blood itself. Venotin la bal, ve'im ein la, and you give it to the husband. Ve'im la ein la balim notem the yorshav. If it has no, in other words, if the husband died, then you give it to the yorshim, meaning the husband died after. Now the compensation goes to the husband. However, you have a situation, atash. What if there aren't any yorshim? So the Mefarshim, both Panim Moshe and Marful, to say here within the Stam Shifcha, meaning Shifcha Kanaanit, when she's freed, Mishuchreret, she becomes effectively converts, just like a Gioret. And in Astam, they also married converts. That's kind of the, you have to really inject that to understand the Mishnah. And they didn't have any children at the time, so a Ger that converts has no Yorshim, then that situation, they wouldn't have to pay the maid of Ladot. Okay, Patur. Let's learn the Gemara. Shosha Mitgaven. So the Gemara says, so an ox is trying aiming for another ox, and it says im ayam ha im mitgaven leishai. So Amisha says if an ox is aiming for another ox and just like misfires or moves the wrong way and ends up hitting this woman and she miscarries, then you're patur. Made ledot. So what are you trying to infer from that? Meaning if he was actually targeting the woman, be chayav made ledot. That makes no sense because we already saw previously that only in a, this is the Gemara's again, we learned a few days ago that it's only when that only Adam that's chayv mei vlad and not the case of a shor that causes that type of damage. Gemara says, Lo shenia, ben shu mitkaven lakot itisha ben mitkaven tel chavro. It makes a difference. It said, why did it Mishnah term in that way where we, you know, it seemed to imply something that's incorrect. So it's not Amar Rab, a classic Gemara, Amar Abar Bar Rav Chana, begin Manitin Ad Batra, because it wanted to teach by contrast the rule that applies to an Adam. Meaning, because Adam itkaven achavra dikaiti shavi atzala demashem demein lablado. Because it wanted to teach the case of two bema grappling and it ends up by the collateral damage was woman ended up getting hit and miscarriage, then you would be chayiv. So, in other words, you set up the case of shor, not just to infer anything from that particular case by shore, but rather learn from the case of if a person caused that damage. Okay, straightforward. Let's continue. Tani, now this part's not so straightforward. It's not so clear why the Gemara is bringing this, but this seems to fit in what we're saying in the, if you like, the debate we saw in the Mishnah between Rabbi Shimigel and Chachamim, whether the value we can use the woman's change in values as a result of miscarriage for compensation or not. Because someone says, "Omer la shchaverosh shivcha valdanit ani mocher lacha banei meshad chinota." If someone says to his friend, "I'm selling you a shivcha that is pregnant," then the fact that she's has a vlad in it that raises her value. Whereas Rav Shemigel says, "Amar kutizmi hizo." Kutizmi means the way. Sorry, where is it? The kutizmi is like it's mishubachad. Is it really improved? I could have sworn I saw it. Yeah, could bitmiak dechi mishubachadi. Yafe. Let's go. So now this fits with the Mishnah. So it could be talking about Dina Mekach Umemkar. Fine. Now Gemara says, Ktiv, Ki Natsu Aneshim, V'nak Po Isha Hara'a V'yatzav Iladeha. That's a case of two men grappling and they injuring this woman. Abbe Yossi ben Chanan Omer, Mimashmish Neviatza Yeladeha. The fact that it says she, in other words, the Torah already taught the consequence, she miscarries. Eni Oda, do I not know she was pregnant? Why does it have to go out of her way? Ishahara, even Nakpo, Ishahara, Yatzav Yeladeha. It seems to be superfluous that she was pregnant if the next words in the pasuk is that she miscarries. Right? So Matom Alo Mahara. Elishimi ka al, in other words, it's trying to teach you that that type of compensation is only if he hit her in a region that in that region where she was pregnant, meaning that will directly cause a miscarriage. Elishimi ka al kaf yadav, rather if she got injured in her hand, or ragla of rosha on her leg or head, kolachat meresh adanim shamanu shu chayav, would you think she'd also be chayav? Tamud lomar hara. Meaning ishahara, that's where she was hit, directly in the place that would cause her miscarriage. Not like she broke her arm and then happens to miscarry. Well, that's not considered. She wouldn't be compensated that. Megid she'ein mitchayev ad she'ikaba makom ubara, where ubar is in that region. Now Gemara says, kasher yashit alav bal ha'isha. Now just a full pasuk. V'nichzun v'nagpo ishahara v'yotzei le'adeya v'lo yason. She's not killed. Anosh yanesh kasher yashit alav bal isha. So the reference is to the Balisha. So Gemara says, Shomani afal pisha ein hariyom shelo. Would I think that it goes to the husband? Different than saying hara. In other words, let's say this woman was pregnant from a different husband, got divorced and got married pretty quickly while she was still pregnant. Or the first husband died and you got married pretty quickly. Yibum was done, for example. Whatever. Oh, well, Kati Yibum, she's pregnant. But you know what I mean? She got married pretty quickly. Fair. Would I say that now the compensation goes to the new husband? Tabad lomar hara, meaning magid she'ein, the spouse word hara we made a reference to before. Magid she'ein mashama ela b'lebal herayon, meaning it's not her husband who gets it, it's the father of this vlad who would be paid for the result of that damage. Okay. Rab Ukba sha'al the following question. Ba'alimo, ba'al chato, what if the woman was made pregnant as a result of some isur arayot, her son or the brother, would that man who committed this crime, if you like, be compensated in the case of such an injury? So, af hu balai rayon, do we say, oh, because he's the father, he'd get compensated? Tam lomar baal. No, the Torah still refers to the baal, meaning the husband. Meaning, why do I have baal and this other hara? So they go together. Etra ui likrot baal yatsu ela she'en meru baal. In other words, a compensation only goes to someone who potentially could have married him, which excludes an isur arayot. Okay, let's continue. Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, ubarim ein yotzim b'shem ba'ayin. Which is interesting. Now, we know that when it comes to a shifcha or an eved, that if the adon injures her eye or knocks out her eye or tooth, then she goes free. What happens if you're dealing with an ubar and there was some sort of injury somehow inside that, if you like, injured the shen ba'ayin? The Gemara says, ein yotzim b'shem ba'ayin. Okay, the Gemara says, okay, I understand ayin. Nicha ayin, because it's not going to grow back. However, shen, you're dealing with, firstly, the ubar doesn't have a teeth. But even if it did have teeth, some miraculous case, you have teeth, and I'm not sure if these cases exist, but it did have teeth, and it was knocked out, say, in the mother's stomach, then it's going to grow another tooth. So how can you say, why do you need to tell us that in your submission by ayin? Shen doesn't, is unnecessary. So Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Yossi bar Abbon." No, the bride is teaching us a different case. Ubrim ein yotzin b'shem ba'ayin. Not talking about its own shin ba'ayin. You had some sort of internal examination that caused the injury. No, we're talking ein yotzin b'shem ba'ayin shel iman. That if the mother's eye or tooth is knocked down, she goes free. The ubar would not. Now that's quite a chiddush because we normally say ubar yerechimovu. No. So one simple way of understanding the Gemara is in this situation, we don't say Ubar Yerech Imohu. So it's according to the opinion, that we don't say Ubar Yerech Imohu. They consider two distinct different things. Therefore, the mother goes free and the Ubar does not. However, interestingly, the Mara Fulda says, Afagad Ubar Yerech Imohu, even though normally, yes, it's true, Ubar Yerech Imohu, Mikol Makom Einotzen B'Shaim Shemo Sharei Yesh Lo Shen V'Ain L'Ubar. This free, in other words, even though Ubar is considered Yerech Imohu, so it's like her arm. So if she goes free, her arm goes free, there's no question. It seems to be a special din by shen v'ayin, since part of her, meaning the ubar, has its own shen v'ayin, Its own shen ve'ain, if you like, would be required to, well, would be necessary to free it. And therefore, even if you want to say ubar yerechim o'hor, she would go free, but not the ubar. Interesting sort of a position. Okay, so let's just do a little bit more. Hachofer, start the Mishnah, and we'll continue the Mishnah next year. Hachofer bo b'rishus harabim. Let's say someone digs a hole in rishus harabim. V'nafal shor o chamor v'met, an ox or donkey falls in it and dies, he's chayv to pay compensation. Now, I have to understand exactly what depth we're talking about. We'll get to that in a moment. Echad ha-chofer bor, v'shiach, ma'ara, charitzin, v'ne'itzin, any type of hole, any type of hazardous drop, if you like, ditches, trenches, caves, and shiach cisterns, and things like that. Okay? Im ken lama nomar bor. So why does the Torah specifically say bor? So the Gemara says, ma ha-bor shehu kedei lamit, just as a stam bor, which is used for water, right, is kedei lamit, is deep enough to kill, which is ad asrat tfachim, af kol davar shu kedei lamit ad asrat tfachim. Meaning it would only be chayev in the situation where it was 10 tfachim deep in order to kill. Ha pechuti masrat tfachim, if it's less than avalatocho, shor chamor met and died, then it would be patur. You know, I know we're in the mission. We'll go over the mission next year. We'll continue from here, because otherwise we're going to go too far. All right, Seder, kol tov, have a good Shabbos, everyone.